Now I feel very at home with you. For actually, when we first moved to Hong Kong, my wife and I, we moved here. We got married in March 2002. We came to Hong Kong in July of 2002, just do a survey trip to see if we wanted to move here. The Lord spoke to my wife, and so we came. I moved in November. My wife came in December. And in February of 2002, or 2003, we started Solomon's Porch, right here in Sheung Wan, with about six people. And it's been a wonderful journey for 17 years. In the midst of this journey, we also started a church first in Beijing. And then we started, we helped with a spin, Pastor Salamat. And can you stand up real quick? He needs a lot of recognition. You know, Pastor Salamat actually is the one who really spearheaded starting the Filipino ministry. And so he really saw the need, and so I always love his heart in that way. And so we first helped out with starting SP Indonesia, and then we started the church in Beijing, and then we started a church in Singapore, and then we started a church in New York, and then we started last year, we started a church in Tokyo. And before that, obviously, SPIL came about. Hopefully the next part, we're planning and hoping to start a church in Korea. And so, but when we first came to Hong Kong, one of the first ministries that really opened their heart to us was actually a Filipino ministry in here on the island. It was part of the Yoido Full Gospel Church. The largest church in Korea. They still have a church here in Hong Kong. And so for 3 years, I would go to their ministry, and it's basically a Filipino ministry, and I would preach once a month for about 3 years. And we had to stop because my wife got pregnant. And so I didn't have as much free time anymore to be able to do that. But my wife and I, we loved it. In fact, I would say I felt closer to my Filipino sisters during that time than I did even in my own church. Because, you know, Koreans and Filipinos were very similar, you know, in many ways, right? We have a little bit of fire inside of us. Amen? Maybe not. I don't know. You know? But there's something. There was such a connection. My wife and I, we enjoyed doing that for 3 years. And we often think about that group back in those days. And so let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 14. I'm not going to speak too long, I hope. John 14, this is verse 6. Many of us are very familiar with this passage. And Jesus turns the crowd and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Right? Can we say that again? It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for what you've been doing this past year, Lord. We're grateful, God. We're come to celebrate, God, your faithfulness, God. We celebrate Pastor Ernie and his family and their heart of service. And we celebrate every sister and brother that's here that's part of this ministry. And so, Lord, I pray that you would come and you'd speak to us, God. Lord, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask you to use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not to convey your words, God, but convey your heart. And we thank you. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So he started out and he says, very, very specifically, he says, I am the way. And I just want to just spend the next 20 minutes or so really unpacking this idea of what the way is. In Greek, this word way is the word hodos. And it simply means, it means a travel journey. It means a path or a road or some way. It's also used as a metaphor throughout the scriptures. It also means it's a course of conduct. It means it's a way or manner of thinking, feeling, or deciding. And so the idea, it's a road, it's a journey, but it's also something a little bit more than that. It's a way that we conduct ourselves. this word was used in a very powerfully, especially in the early New Testament church. And often the word translated road, journey, highway, or path, but it began to be used to identify the Christians. Did you know in the beginning of the church in the New Testament, we didn't even call ourselves Christians? That came much later on in the book of Acts, particularly in the city of Antioch. And in Antioch, those people who aligned themselves with Jesus Christ begin to call themselves as Christians or Christos or the Messiah or the way. But mostly in the early church, the way that you identified if you were a believer or not, they would ask you this question. They would say, are you of the way? So go ahead, turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. Say, are you of the way? Now, this had really multiple meanings for people because it was quite powerful. Because remember, during this time, there was this great Roman persecution. Christians were being killed. Christians were being imprisoned. Christians were denied jobs. Christians were denied food. I mean, there was a lot of persecution on Christians. And so they had to be very careful about who they exposed themselves to, because if they told the wrong person they were Christians, they could go to jail. And we see this happening even in countries now. I mean, there are certain countries that if you say that you're a Christian, you may be going to jail, or you may die or go to some labor camp. You know, this next week, there's actually a talk my friend's bringing, basically an Iranian pastor through Zoom. They're having a live service, but through Zoom, and he's going to talk about what happened to him. He spent 1 year in solitary confinement. In one whole year, he never even saw his face in a mirror. He was by himself, and his only crime was being a Christian. Particularly his crime was being a pastor, a leader of other Christians in the country of Iran. And so this happens. And so you had to be careful of who you let people know what you believed in. But it was more than that. Really, the question that people ask is they wonder, you know, maybe, you know, if you saw Pastor Nate, you know, and he seems like such a nice guy. He's such a nice guy. And you see Nate and you think, oh, maybe that guy's a Christian. And so you come up to Nate and it says, hey, and you would say, hey, are you of the way? You know, just very privately, are you a follower of Jesus? But the other meaning beside that is just, are you more than, do you more than just call yourself a Christian? Are you actually living the life? Are you on the way? Not that you kind of categorize yourself by a group of people, but are you a real follower of Jesus? Remember when Paul is running to the churches, there were a lot of fake followers of Jesus. And so he talks about, you know, wolves. And he talks about, these guys hold to a form of religion, but they have no power. And so he says, be aware of these people. And so there were a lot of fake teachers, fake leaders, fake Christians in the church. And I want to suggest to you, I don't want to make it sound so big, I want to suggest to you that there's a lot of fake Christians in the church today. Amen? You know, and I know I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about your friend, right? And so, but it's true, there's a lot of people that say they're Christians, but when we see their conduct, something doesn't fit. It doesn't work this way. And so the early church, Saul, and then Paul, begin to associate the followers of Christ as the way. I'll give you some examples. In Acts chapter 9, verse 2, it says, they asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So that was Paul, Saul, that was his job. He had a letter from the synagogue that basically said that he can capture and kill any Jewish person that now belong to this other group, and they call it the way. And so he received that permission. And then in Acts 19, verse 9, when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And so now we see later on in Paul, now Saul has now become Paul through his dramatic conversion. And so now he's, again, people are speaking evil of what? The way. This was the categorization of the early church. People in the Roman Empire begin to call the followers of Christ people, or they were on or of the way. Acts 24, 22. This is Felix. He says, but Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way. So it was very common practice. The Jews recognized that this is a group of people that followed Jesus. They were on the way. They were of the way. Romans recognized this. Felix himself said, these people, they're also of the way. It was an idea. Now, sadly, Felix and the Roman Empire, they're merely following the Christians who begin to identify themselves as the way, really as a way to identify themselves. Now, but it meant so much more than that. And during this great persecution, when believers wanted to know if they were followers of Christ, they would ask that question, are you on the way? Note, the key emphasis is not, do you call yourself a Christian? But the emphasis was, are you living out the Christian life? Again, the emphasis was not, do you call yourself a Christian? The emphasis is, are you really living out the Christ life? Are you living like Jesus? You know, from the inception, the beginning of the church, the emphasis was not on our label. It wasn't, I'm pastor, I'm a lay minister, I'm a worship leader, I'm a Bible study teacher, you know, or any of these things. I'm an elder. The emphasis was not on labels. The emphasis was on following Jesus Christ. Being a Christian, right, but actually following Jesus and living out our faith. In other words, the way is not a destination. The way is a lifestyle. Let me tell you again, the way, this journey that we're on with Jesus is not a destination. The way is not just us getting into heaven. The way is a lifestyle. It's a conduct in a way that Christ wants us to live. James, in the Greek, actually Jacob, this is Jesus' brother. When he writes in the book of James, James 2:26, he says this, for it says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. He's saying this is something, if you can have all this faith, but there's not a life to back this up, him, and he has got power to say that because he's Jesus' brother, he says, then that is dead. It's useless to us. Obviously, he wasn't talking about a salvation issue of faith. It wasn't saving faith, but it was faith in the way that we live our lives. In James 2:18, he continues that thought, and he says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. It came hand in hand. See, in James's economy, believing, right, also required works. You believe God, good works follow that. And we see Jesus says that. He says, you know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Works don't save you. So this is not about salvation, but true faith. If you really have faith, works will come right alongside of that. It goes right through that. Our beliefs and our conduct go together. You know, I'm really into sports. And so I don't know if you're going to catch what I'm about to say in a moment. But years ago, there was this event. There was this man in the United States. He's half Thai. You know, his mother is Thai, and his father is African-American. His name is Tiger Woods. And Tiger Woods was, and probably still is, the best golfer ever. And he had a really bad situation that everyone looked at him and they thought he was the nicest guy. You know, he was pure, you know, very likable. But he was married to this woman, but he was having affairs everywhere. And it came out, so she basically got her golf clubs and tried to hit him with it and end up hitting his car. And I mean, just huge. It was like worldwide news that happened here. And people were so upset at Tiger Woods. There was another situation with another person. He was another American. And he won the Tour de France, which is, you know, the most grueling bike race, you know, Lance Armstrong. And he came out and he did an interview on TV, and he basically, for 10 years of his life, he lied. And he basically told people he overcame cancer. He won all these incredible races, and all these things happened. But the sad thing is people got so mad at him for 10 years he lied because he was taking drugs in order for him to succeed in sports all through this time. And so, you know, you think, why were so many people mad at Tiger Woods? Why were so many people mad at Lance Armstrong? Why were people so many mad at these kind of people? You know why? It's because they said one thing and they lived a totally different life. That's why people were mad. And that's why people get mad at pastors. And I understand that. You know, and rightfully so. If we are saying one thing, in other words, live this kind of life, live the way that we're asking to live, the way the Bible is, and then they live a totally different life, yeah, that's really sad. But it happens all the time. Saying one thing, but living a totally different way. Many years ago, I was able to meet a very, very famous Christian writer. He was a Christian thinker. His grandfather, his great grandfather, was actually a missionary in China. So he was born in China, but very well known. He's written tons of books. His name is Os Guinness. And I'm sure you don't do this, but if you really like beer, it's the Guinness beer family. They actually this is old history. This Irish family. And so Os is a great thinker, a Christian writer. And he was in Hong Kong, and so I was able to talk to him a little bit. And so, you know, when I talk to leaders, I try to ask him, you know, ask him a bunch of questions. And one day, I was finally with him alone, and so I asked him, I said, Os, what do you think is the greatest challenge for Christianity today? I mean, I really respect his opinion. I've read tons of his books over the years. And I said, what do you think is the greatest challenge to Christianity today? And I thought he would say something like Islam, you know, or he'd say something, you know, like liberal Christianity or, you know, LGBTQ and all these things and those things. And he said, I mean, without even blinking, he says the greatest challenge today is the compartmentalization of faith. And I was like, whoa, right? And basically what he's saying is the biggest challenge today is we have Christians that are Christians on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there's something totally different. And they compartmentalize their life. In other words, this is my Christian life, this is my work life, this is my financial life, this is my family life, you know, this is my relationships. And so, and God is only involved in my spiritual life. In other words, the area of faith, God is the center, but who do I marry? Who do I date? How do I spend my money? You know, what do I do with my free time? All these things, God is not a partaker of these aspects. Spiritual life, Sunday, I come to church on Sunday. I dress nicely, I come. I sing the songs. I raise my hands. Sometimes I even bow the knee. I'll give my offering. I'll stand when I need to stand. I'll sit when I need to sit. I'll be nice to people. Hey, hello, I'll be nice to everybody. But as soon as I leave church, then it's my life. It's what I want to do. Don't tell me who to date. Don't tell me who to marry. Don't tell me what to do with my money. You know, God, you're omitted from all this stuff. It's just spiritual life and everything else, the compartmentalization of our faith. And when he said that, there was something in me that I just said, you're right. You're right. Because let me clue you in on something. Our faith, Christianity, this faith that Jesus Christ, and he went to the cross and he died for us on the cross, when you make it about this part of my life and this life, and in other words, if Jesus is only a part of your life, Christianity will never work for you. It'll never work. It was never meant to work like that. That's not what it's about. If Jesus is just a part, you know, like here's my spiritual life, here's my social life, here's my financial life, here's my family life. And if the way that you live your life and the way that God is governing your life, it's basically looks like that, Christianity will never work for you because it was never meant to work like that. See, God doesn't just want to be a part of your life. God is life. And the only way that we have life is that it comes from God. We can't just make him one part. That's why we get so frustrated in our faith. That's why we get so down and we feel so defeated, because our mindset going into it, it starts off in the wrong place. He can't be just one part of your life. You cannot invite him into your heart, you know, and get saved and not invite him into your finances and not invite him into your relationships and not invite him to your workplaces. And you know, I could go on and on and on and on like this. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? Christianity was never meant to work like that. The only way and the way that God says this works is that if he is your life, and then everything flows from that space. But, I mean, that's tough. It's tough because it means that we have to give God our whole life. Then it's like, I came to this realization. I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. Then, God, I have to give you my whole life. And God said, yeah, that's how it works. And I started wrestling with my fears. Because you know what I really fear deep down? It's just this thought I had about God. I didn't believe that God would take care of me. In other words, I have to take care of myself. I have to take care of my finances. I have to take care of my relationship. I have to be in charge of all these things. Because deep down, there was this insecurity, but it was this lack of trust in God. God, I can't trust you to watch over me in my relationships. I can't trust you to watch over me in my finances. I can't trust you to watch over me in my family. I got to take care of my family. God, I don't really trust you that you're going to take care of me in my family. And so I had to deal with my own trust issues, you know, in the part of all of these things. Many years ago, I go through the Bible. We have morning prayer at our church here in Hong Kong, and so 4 days a week, Monday through Friday, I teach, or Tuesday through Friday, I teach in the morning, and I'm just going through the Bible, I went through the whole New Testament. Now I'm going through the Old Testament, and there was one book. I'll just be honest, one book that just scared me. Actually, okay, many books of the Bible scare me. But particularly one book in the Old Testament and one book in the New Testament book is the book of Revelation. Still scares me to death, okay? But the Old Testament is the book of Leviticus. And I was always afraid of Leviticus because I just didn't understand it. Too many rules, too many regulations, right? Too many laws laid out. But I remember, and I faithfully, every morning, I do one chapter a day. And I'm going through one chapter a day. And I finished the book of Leviticus, and I was so blessed. You know my big takeaway from the book of Leviticus was? I mean, my biggest takeaway is simply this. God is concerned with every aspect of our life. Like God in the book of Leviticus, he'll talk about how to worship, you know, how to sacrifice, you know, how to take care of the blood, the next sentence he writes about how to wash pots and pans. You know, and you're thinking, I know how to wash pots and pans. You know, I mean, I've been in the kitchen before. I mean, this is ridiculous. But I realized, no, God is letting us know how to live life. He's involved. He's not just interested in spiritual matters. He's not just interested in worship and singing and serving God and all those things. He's interested in every aspect of our life. He's interested in your worship, in your giving, but he's also interested in how you wash pots and pans and how you clean your house. It's crazy. But he wants to be involved in every aspect of our life. And like I said, and if Christianity is just a part of your life, it will never work that way. You know, one of the saddest conversations I ever had with an SP member of our church. Well, since then, I've had a lot more. They're kind of sad. But I remember I was talking to this one young woman, and she was always dating non-Christians. You know, and obviously, you know, as a Bible-believing church, we believe you should marry Christians. That's what the Bible talks about, being equally yoked. You don't want to be unequally yoked. And so we're talking about all these matters, and she was dating a lot of non-Christians. And she tried to witness to them in these things, but, you know, missionary dating doesn't work very well. And so I was talking with her, and I said, well, why do you keep doing this? You know, because, you know, I've seen like two or three boyfriends now, and they all end up really bad. Like, it doesn't work out well. Why don't you just be patient and just wait for a Christian brother? And I remember this sister turned to me, and she had this sadness in her eyes, and she said, P-Sam, you don't understand. The Christian guys are worse than the non-Christian guys. Right? Some of you guys are saying, yeah, it's true. You know, like the Christian, like the non-Christian guys are nicer than the Christian guys. The non-Christian guys treat me better than the Christian guys. And you know, and I had all the Bible, I had everything behind me to back me up, and I couldn't say anything. I was just embarrassed. I was embarrassed for Christian brothers. You know, and so we really started amping up our men's ministry at our church to make sure that our sisters, you know, they won't have to say those kinds of statements anymore, because our men are up to par. But that's a sad reality that happens here in this place. You know, that what we say is different than what we do. And so today, I just have 2 points, okay? I'm going to just wrap this up. 2 points. And we have this summer that's upon us now. I mean, this is why I got my hair cut. It's hot this summer, so I thought I'd cool off a little bit. But in these next few months, what can we do to get on the way? Maybe you're not on the way right now, but you need to get on the way. Maybe God is just one part of your life, but he's inviting you to step into the fullness of who he is. Remember, Jesus came in another passage in the book of John, and he says, I came. This is why he came. I came that you might have life. In the Greek, the word zoe, it's talking about this fullness of that you might have life and have it abundantly. The word actually literally translated means overflowing. You know, you have a life that's overflowing. Because that's what he wants. The devil only comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it overflowing. And so we want to experience this abundance of life, the zoe in our lives. So what can we do this summer? Again, it's not a destination, but it's a lifestyle. What can we do to get on the way? 2 simple points. Number one, I want you to find the way of prayer. I want you to find the way of prayer. Track yourself in this. Do you know the antidote for the double-minded life? Double-minded meaning you say one thing and you do something totally different. You know the antidote? It's prayer. Prayer is a spiritual transaction. Now, this is why prayer is so amazing. It's something that we do physically. I do it with my mouth, I do it with my hands, I do it with my posture, sometimes on my knees, but it requires the whole heart. It's something that I do physically, but it has spiritual ramifications. That's crazy. There's not many things on this earth that have that kind of power. You know, we're all adults here, right? Sex has that kind of power. Sex, the Bible tells us, there's something when a man and woman, a husband and wife, when they are making love to one another, it's the physical act has spiritual ramifications. The Bible says they're one flesh. And so there's not too many of these things that as a human being, I'm operating in a physical act, but it has incredible spiritual ramifications in heaven. I do something on earth that affects heaven in some way. That's prayer. There's something about when we pray, it eases this double-mindedness that comes in our way. And so as a simple rule or simple idea, I just want you to come before the Lord and just say with the disciples, this is like one of the greatest prayers in all of the Bible. The disciples turned to Jesus and they simply said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Just like John taught his disciples. It's fascinating. You know, the disciples could have asked Jesus anything. They could have said, Jesus, can you teach me how to raise people from the dead? I mean, they would have made a lot of money if they learned that, right? You know, or said, can you teach me to multiply bread and fish? They'll probably make even more money. Open up a restaurant, never have to buy any supplies. Multiplying bread and fish all day long. They could have asked all kinds of things, but they asked because there was something so different about the prayer life of Jesus. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Let this summer be the summer where you find the way to prayer, where you start really connecting with God. Because this is how do you build a relationship with anyone? You talk to them. You know, you can't have a relationship with someone without talking to them, without some form of communication happening. And WhatsApp, you know, text doesn't work that well. It's got to be face-to-face. Prayer gets you face-to-face with God. This is what it's about. It's a way that we go about this. So let me just do a really short teaching. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 is Jesus' teaching on prayer. And in Matthew 7, real simple, we're going to read from verse 7 through 11. And I'm going to break this down to you just to understand what prayer is really quick. Matthew 7, starting at verse 7, it says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And so Jesus lays out really the three fundamental prayers that we pray to the Lord. In a real simple way, and this is real simple, it's ask, seek, and knock. So let me break it down for you. This is really easy. So this will be the simplest message on prayer, but maybe the most profound message that you'll hear. Number one, prayer is asking and receiving. In other words, you know God's will. Like you know God's will for your life. Guess what? Ask and you will receive. Maybe your father is ill. Maybe your father is sick. And you prayed to the Lord for his healing, and God spoke to you and said, don't worry, your dad will be healed. Guess what? Ask, and you'll receive. In other words, you know this is God's will, and so you pray. It doesn't mean you stop praying. You pray. You just simply ask, and then you receive. Like before I got married, my wife, she didn't know this, but I knew it. She was going to be my wife. The Lord spoke very clearly to me. Now, of course, I didn't manipulate her, so I didn't tell her. I wasn't like one of those dumb guys, you know, to say, hey, the Lord told me that you're going to be my, you know, wife. If you ever hear that, the person is not spiritual, right? The person is trying to manipulate you. And so, I just knew that God spoke to me, and so I just asked, and then I received. In other words, you know God's will, ask, and you receive. So, then the second type of prayer, what if you don't know God's will? What if maybe you're praying for somebody or praying for a new job or something and you don't know the answer? That's when you go to the second one, seek and you will find. That's a different type of prayer, right? You know God's will, ask and you receive. The second part, you don't know God's will. You don't know if God is saying this or God's leading this way. So what do? The Bible says you seek. And guess what? And you shall find. And in other words, ask God, seek the Lord, and you'll find the answer. You'll find him in that place. Simple. First one, second one. We get this, right? You know God's will, ask, receive. You don't know God's will, seek, and you'll find. Third one, this is the hardest one. This is the hardest one. This is persevering prayer, different kind. This is, you know this is God's will. Like, you know this is God's will, but it's not happening. This is when you knock. And sometimes you got to kick the door down, right? It's not just polite knocking. Sometimes you got to kick this down. This is knock, and then the door should be open to you. This is the most difficult type of prayer, because you know God has spoken to you. You know this is God's will. You know in your heart it's established in the Word of God, and you know it, but it's not happening. Maybe you're praying for your uncle to be a Christian. And so you've been praying for years, and it seems like the more you pray, the further he gets away from God. And so, but you know God has spoken to you about this. And so the Bible says, knock, persevere, and then one day the door will be open to you. The way that this particular passage in Matthew is written, this is what we call in Greek sentence structure, this is what we call a present tense imperative. Imperative meaning it's a command, right? You ask, you seek, and you knock. It's not, you know, oh, pretty please, God, right? This is like a command. We'll go forth in power, but it's also present tense. In other words, it's an action that is continually happening. So a better translation, if you actually break this up, is actually keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It's an action that's constantly, it's continuing to go forth. It's happening even as we speak. And so this summer, when we talk about being on the way, find the way of prayer. Be a person of prayer. I really want to challenge Spill this summer. This is July, August, just a couple months. It's a little short time frame for you to really focus and focus on developing a prayer life, a real secret life of prayer before God. Everything that you have in your life, everything that happens in your life will happen through a response of prayer. And so start developing these prayer muscles in our lives. The second one, another important aspect of being on the way, is find the way of community. Find the way of community. Find the way of sisterhood and brotherhood. We need accountability so much. We can't live on the way by ourselves. We need people to speak into our lives, to bring encouragement, to bring wisdom, to bring direction, to bring correction, and to bring reconciliation. You know, find a few friends, a few sisters around you. You know, make a group of people and say, man, I'm going to keep you accountable. You speak into my life, I'm going to speak into your life. You know, get, you know, three or four together and say, man, let's really build community as sisters together. To really, let's spur each other to grow. It's so hard because, see, this Christian life was never meant to do it ourselves. The enemy has lied to us. And I think a lot of it is we confuse, listen, let me just break it down real quick. We confuse our Christian faith with our Christian life. Let me explain what I mean by that. Christian faith is personal. Christian faith is me and God. Like I, you know, like we heard this phrase, God has no grandchildren. In other words, every single person must make a personal decision with God. No one else enters into that space. It's me and God. That's my personal faith. That's faith. But see, God does not, we don't live a Christian faith. We live a Christian life. And life involves everybody else. I cannot live the Christian life by myself. Even though a lot of people like to do that. You know, there's people that they don't want to go to church. They don't want to be part of a community. No, it's just me and God. You know, me and God, we're like this. We don't need anybody else. And that, brothers and sisters, that has been a lie from the pit of hell. Martin Luther, the great reformer, one of the fathers of our faith, Martin Luther said, you cannot have God as your father without having the church as your mother. It's not just the Christian faith. It's the Christian life. The Christian life involves all of us. We're part of it universally, and you're part of it locally, particularly in this ministry here at Spill. We need people to be involved. We need to open ourselves up to other people. You know, you got to realize you're part of something so much bigger and beyond yourself. We need to inconvenience ourselves or get out of the busyness of our life, you know, and get into community. Let me just read a few scriptures. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly, and I put sisterly, love. Give preference to love to one another in honor. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself or herself. Galatians 6:10, so then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all men and women, and especially to those who are the household of faith. There's something powerful there. There's something about you and me and us together. We make the body of Christ. And there's something about when one member of the body is suffering, all the other members not only suffer with it, but help. Some part of the body is rejoicing. The body comes together to rejoice together. It's a symbiotic relation. We're all connected to one another. And it's imperative that when we think about being on the way, part of that way is walking in community. I want to challenge you. I don't want to make it too big, right? Two things. We can do two things, very simply. Two things this summer. 2 months, right? Two things. Get on the way of prayer and get on the way of community. And I guarantee you do that, it'll change your life. It'll change this whole year. It'll change your perspective. It'll change everything that happens in our life. Amen? Are you on the way? Are you on the way? Let's close our eyes. Let me invite the worship team to come back. Now let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Are you on the way? Or are you compartmentalizing your faith? Are you a Sunday Christian? Or maybe you're even better, you're a Saturday and Sunday Christian. No, it's not a day. It's a lifestyle. This is what Jesus Christ offers to his body. He gave all of himself to us. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let him whisper into your heart. Let him minister to you.
This is my desire. give you my heart.
Tayo po lahat tayo tumayo.
I give you my soul.
Sober our life unto the Lord.
I give for you.
Come on, church.
Every breath that I take.
Sing it to God right now. Make it a prayer of your life.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Yes, Lord. Here's our heart right now. Lord, kita mo, Panginoon, ang aming puso, Panginoon.
I live for you.
Hallelujah. Walang tago sa iyo, Panginoon. Lahat sa iyo ay lantad, Panginoong Diyos. Nakikita mo ang puso namin ngayon, Panginoon. At inaawit namin ito sa iyo.
Your way in me,
Lord, have you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Sing it to God.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your ways in me.
Church, narinig po natin ang bahagi ng aming pastor na ang Diyos ay buhay. Hindi po natin pwedeng ibigay lang ang parte o isang parte ng ating buhay. Nais ng Diyos na siya ang mismong tunay na buhay na sa atin. Hindi pwedeng linggo lang ang pwedeng ibigay. Hindi pwedeng isang parte lang na ng buhay mo ang iyong ibigay sa Panginoon. Nais ng ating Diyos ay ibigay mo ang buong buhay mo sapagkat siya ang buhay. Kapatid, hindi pwede pong na sinabi natin na tinanggap natin ang Panginoong Diyos, subalit wala ka sa komunidad. Ang church po ay hindi isang tao. Ang church po ay composed ng maraming tao na mga tinawag ng Diyos. Ang Diyos ay ang Diyos ng second chance. Tinawag ka, nakarinig ka ng salita ng Diyos, subalit ikay nakalimot, nais mong mabuhay sa sarili mo. Lord, pwede ba? Sabi mo, ligtas na ako. Pwede ba yung ibang yung parte ng buhay ko, akin na? Hindi po yun ang tinatawag ng Diyos. Ang kinaka-nais ng Panginoong Diyos ay lahat, ang lahat ay pamuhay mo ng para sa Kanya. Kapatid, ito ang oras. Ito na ang oras. Narinig mo to, dinala ka rito ng Panginoong Diyos. Nangungusap ang banal na Espiritu sa iyong puso ngayon. Huwag mong tigasan ang puso mo. Nakakaranas ka ng mga bagay na hindi karapat-dapat dahil ayaw mong bigyan ng pagkakataon ng Diyos na siyang kumilos sa iyong buhay. Kapatid, ang sinarinig mong salita ngayon, ang narinig mong salita ng Diyos na katotohanan, kailangan mo lang ay manalangin ka. Lumapit sa Diyos, ang sabi po niya, ask, humingi ka. Kung ika'y nakalimot, humingi ka sa Diyos. Siya ay handang magpatawad. Siya ay handang akapin ka muli. Ang Diyos, inahabol ka, ikaw lang ang takbo ng takbo, papalayo, kapatid. Sabi niya, seek, saliksikin mo ako. Kapatid, saliksikin mo ang Diyos sa iyong puso mo ngayon. Nasaan ba siya? Nasa isang sulok lang ba siya ng closet ng puso mo? Nasa ibababa siya ng trono ng puso mo? O nakaupo ba siya sa trono ng puso mo, kapatid? Saliksikin mo ang iyong puso sa oras na ito. Kumakatok siya sa puso mo, kapatid. Sabi, kumatok, anak. Oo, maraming kabigatan sa buhay na nararanasan natin dito. Malayo tayo sa mga pamilya natin. O minsan di nakakausap, may mga problema. Subalit sinasabi ng Biblia, kumatok ka, kapatid. Huwag kang titigil na kumatok at lumapit sa Panginoong Diyos. Naran siya. Lumapit ka, nag-aantay ang Diyos. Amen. Lumapit ka at nag-aantay ng Diyos, ang Diyos. At sa oras na ito, kapatid, nais ko, pakinggan mo ang boses ng banal na Espiritu. Pakinggan mo ang boses ng banal na Espiritu. Bukas ang altar, kapatid. Nais mong manumbalik at muli hayaan ng banal na Diyos, ang ating Panginoong Diyos, na mabuhay sa iyong buhay mo. Itong oras, kapatid, lumapit ka. Lumapit ka. Huwag mong tigasin ang puso mo. Habang po umaawit ang awitin na to, bukas po ang altar, lumapit po kayo. Hayaan niyo ang Diyos at ikaw lamang. Huwag niyo pong tignan ang katabi niyo. Huwag po kayong mahiya. Ang Diyos, hinahabol ka at aakapin ka. Kapatid, ito na ang oras. Ito ang oras na muli tinawag ka. Sa oras na ito, come. Come to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is here. He is here. Come. Come. Run and run to our Lord. He is our hope. He is our living hope. He is our Savior. And there is none like Him. There is none like Him. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. And He's calling you right now. He's calling you right now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come on, church. Huwag niyo po kayong mahiya. Lumapit kayo sa Panginoong Diyos. Hindi po si Ernie, hindi po si sino man tao tumatawag sa inyo ngayon, kundi ang ating Panginoong Diyos. Ibigay niyo ang inyong buhay. Siya ang pag-asa. Siya ang ating kalakasan at siya ang ating kaligayahan ng ating buhay. Siya ang ating katahimikan. Kapatid, ibigay mo ang iyong buhay sa Panginoong Diyos. Hindi kanya pababayaan. Yan ang pangako niya. Hindi ko kayo iiwan. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Napakabuti mo, Panginoon. Hallelujah. Sige po, lumapit po kayo. Huwag po kayong mahiya. Ibigay niyo ang buhay niyo sa Panginoong Diyos. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, oh God.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live.
Call unto the Lord Jesus. Call unto Him. Call on the name of Jesus and you will be saved. Call unto Jesus. Urabataka na makaya rasondo kera mama.
Lord, I give you my
soul.
Yes, Lord.
Marami pa po dyan na nakatayo. Huwag nyo na pong tigasin ang inyong puso. Lumapit sa Panginoon. Nakikita po ng Diyos lahat na nandyan sa closet ng puso mo. Wala kang maitatago, kapatid. Ang Diyos, mahal ka. Nais Kanyang baguhin. Nais Kanyang iligtas sa iyong dinaranas ngayon. No? Nais Kanyang bigyan ng katahimikan. Nais Kanyang bigyan ng kaligtasan na hindi kayang ibigay ng mundo. Sinasabi mo, maayos ngayon ang buhay mo, kapatid. May duloy ang sinasabi mo, subalit ang relasyon natin sa Diyos, kailanman, pag siyang ating inuna, siyang ating ginawa Panginoon at tagapagligtas ng ating buhay, kapatid, umasa ka, hindi kanya pababayaan. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, God, speaking. Come on, church. Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Remove every doubt. Tanggalin niyo po yung mga alinlangan sa puso ninyo. Tanggalin niyo ang alinlangan sa puso ninyo. Hindi, ito ay ang kilos ng banal na Espiritu ngayon. Huwag niyo pong palagpasin ang panahon na to, ng oras na ito, na talaga pong kayo ay kakatagpuin ng Diyos sa oras na ito. Ikaw at ang Diyos lamang ang siyang mangungusap sa puso mo. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Meron po akong nakikita na nag-aalinlangan ang kanyang puso at isipan na meron siyang hinihinging panalangin. Kapatid, ang Diyos naririnig ang puso mo, naririnig ang iyong isipan. Ang nais lamang niya ay tumawag ka. Ang nais lamang niya ay tumawag ka. Lumapit sa Panginoon. Lumapit sa Panginoon. Urata ka na may esh kororobosoto korabaayan. Meron po sa ating kalagitnaan ngayon, sinasabi niya sa kanyang sarili, oh, okay naman ako ngayon. Okay naman ako ngayon. Magandang takbo ng buhay ko. Pero kapatid, lahat ng nasa ibabaw ng mundo ay temporal. Ang inaalok ngayon ng Panginoong Diyos ay pang-eternal. Nakikita mo ngayon na maayos ka. Yes, praise God. Purihin mo ang Diyos sapagkat binibigyan ka ng ganyang pagpapala. Subalit mayroong higit na gustong ipagkaloob ng Diyos sa iyo. Ang buhay na walang hanggan. Ang pagpapala na walang kapalit na kalungkutan sa puso at isipan, kapatid. Sinasabi meron din po sa ating kalagitnan, bakit kung mahal ako ng Diyos, bakit ang aking pamilya ay ganito? Kapatid, ito na ang oras, kaya nga mo narinig ang salitang ito upang paniigin mo ang ating Diyos at tanungin mo siya, Panginoon, nais ko pong maisalbang aking pamilya. Nais ko po, Panginoon, na mawala ang mga tanikalang ito na humahatak sa amin, sa kahirapan. Kapatid, lumapit ka sa Panginoong Diyos sa oras na ito. Mangusap ka. Kausapin mo siya. Narito siya. Narito siya. Narito siya. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come and speak, Lord God. Touch every heart, Lord God, that is here in this room. All to those who call on you, said, oh God, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Call the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Oh, Jesus, our Lord. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Speak to them, Lord. Speak, Lord. Mangusap ka, Panginoon. Oh, Rabashan. Oh, Rabashan. Nananana kaya, Rabashan. Come on, church. Speak to the Lord right now. Speak to Him. Kausapin mo siya. Pour out your heart unto the Lord. Pour out everything in your heart to the Lord. Right now. He is listening. He is listening. He is listening. He is here. He is here. He is here. Our God is here. Oh, Rabashadadadadad. Yes, Father God. Lord, nakikita mo, Panginoon, ang puso ng bawat isa, Panginoon. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching their heart. Thank you, Father God, for calling them, Lord God, from darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord God, for guiding them, for protecting them, Lord God, for leading them, oh Lord God, in the righteousness of Christ, oh Lord. And Father God, you know them. You know their situation, Lord. You know what is happening in their life, God. And it is our prayer, God, to meet them, Lord God. Meet them, Lord. Katagpuin mo sila, Panginoon. Kung nasaan sila, Panginoon. Kung kailangan nila, Panginoon, ng kalakasan, katagpuin mo sila, Panginoon. Kung kalakasan, kung kailangan nila, Panginoon, ang kagalingan ng katawan, katagpuin mo sila, Panginoong Jesus. Kung nangangailangan, Panginoon, ng gabay, katagpuin mo sila, Panginoon. Ang nangangailangan, Panginoon, ng reconciliation ng pamilya, Panginoon. Lord, katagpuin mo sila doon, Panginoon. Ang mga nahihirapan sa mga trabaho nila, Panginoon. Katagpuin mo sila, Panginoon. Panginoon. O Lord, ang mga pero mga sama ng loob, mga sakit na nararanasan, Panginoon, katagpuin mo sila, Panginoon. Katagpuin mo sila, Panginoon, sapagkat yan ang pangako mo, Panginoon, na hindi mo kami iiwan, O Lord God, magpakailanman, Panginoon. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, God. Oh, we thank you, Father God. Begin to thanks the Lord. Pasalamatan po natin ang Panginoong Diyos. Pasalamatan natin ang Panginoong Diyos, ang Panginoong Jesus sa ginawa niya at sa gagawin niya sa ating buhay. Tandaan mo, kapatid, ang oras na ito. Ito ang oras na kung saan ay tinawag at nakipag-usap ang Diyos sa iyo. At ito ang oras na kung saan ay sinasabi kakatagpuin ng Diyos ang lahat ng areas ng iyong buhay. Amen! Kakatagpuin ng Diyos ang lahat ng areas ng iyong buhay sapagkat yan ang pangako niya. Amen! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Tayo po'y manalangin. At meron pa po dito, nakikita ka ng Diyos, hindi mo pa tinanggap ang Panginoong Jesus bilang iyong Panginoon at tagapagligtas. Napaka-importante, kapatid, na meron kang kaligtasan sapagkat sa panahong ito ay hindi natin alam ang mga parating na pangyayari. Hindi lamang kaligtasan ang ibinibigay sa iyo ng Diyos, kundi kapayapaan. Buhay na walang hanggan at gabay ng banal na Espiritu. Kung hindi mapuputinanggap sa iyong buhay ang Panginoong Jesus bilang iyong Panginoon at tagapagligtas ng iyong buhay, habang ang mga matay nakapikit, nais ko pong itaas mo ang iyong kamay. Ito po ay pagkilos at paggawa ng pananampalataya na ang Diyos, ang Panginoong Jesus, kailangan mo ng iyong buhay. At sa iyong pagtaas ng kamay na may pananampalataya at naunawaan mo na kailangan mo ang kaligtasan ng Diyos, sumunod ka sa panalangin ito at akuin mong bilang panalangin na may pananampalataya. Sumunod ka sa panalangin ito. Panginoong Jesus, ako po'y lumalapit. Ako'y nagpapakumbaba. Tinatanggap na ako'y makasalanan. At hindi po ko po kayang iligtas ang aking sarili sa tiyak na kapahamakan. At sa oras na ito, ako'y lumalapit, humihingi ng pagpapatawad ng aking mga kasalanan mula nang ako'y nagkamalay hanggang sa ngayon. At salamat, Panginoong Diyos. At dalangin ko, pumasok ka sa aking puso. Umupo sa trono ng aking puso bilang aking Panginoon, sariling tagapagligtas at Diyos ng aking buhay. Salamat, O Diyos, sa pagpapatawad mo sa akin. Salamat, O Diyos, sa buhay na walang hanggan. Salamat, O Diyos, sa pagtatala mo ng aking pangalan sa aklat ng buhay mula sa oras na ito. Salamat, O Diyos, sa pangalan ni Jesus. Amen, 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 amen.